Hello, welcome to Values, Virtues, Ethics and Morality. My name is Magla Pillay, and once again it is my pleasure to introduce to you Sister Denise, who has been practicing Raja Yoga meditation with the Brahma Kumaris for several decades. Today's topic is one that I hope piques your interest. It's called Keeping Up Appearances. We all do this at some point or the other, don't we? Where we try to follow someone around us, either somebody we admire or respect, and yet we don't necessarily know why this is the case. This may apply to you whether you are an adult or a child, and irrespective of which part of the globe you live in. So what we're going to look at today is the reasons for this, and whether we're harming ourselves in any way by conducting ourselves as such. The point of this show is for you to take a good look at the inner workings of your mind, your intellect, your conscience, and ask yourself whether your internal value system is working for you, whether your behavior on the outside matches that which you believe on the inside. So to that end, I'd like to warmly welcome Sister Denise, and thank you very much for joining us in today's show.
Thank you, Magla.
So please tell me, Sister Denise, keeping up appearances, why on earth do we do that?
I think peer pressure plays a very important role in that. Our equals are constantly looking at us, and there is this energy of conformity. Because if you can get other people to conform to your standards, it somehow validates that your standards are right. And one of the big problems that's happening among young people, very young people, is the whole thing of brand name outfits, shoes, glasses, mobile phones, whatever. If you don't have a mobile phone, then somehow you're not okay, you're a lower level person, and they want a person to feel bad for not having one so that they feel okay for having one. Or the thing about brand name sneakers, you know, you have to have your Adidas or whatever it is, because then, you know, it's all about the whole thing of money and physical status symbols and identifying with those things. Then there's other contexts where you are expected to dress a certain way. Maybe in the corporate culture you have to wear certain things, maybe even a certain couture clothing to suit your status. You have to have a certain car, a certain brand name. All of these things are really taken into consideration, and they're kind of messages that you give to the world about who you are. And even in terms of spirituality, there are expectations, you know, and if you wear certain clothing, it means you're spiritual. And if you wear certain other clothing, it means you're not spiritual, which is, of course, not necessarily the case, but is a belief system that has been accumulated. And then if you want to belong, then you want to conform to these expectations. And this feeling of wanting to belong and be deemed to be okay and good and acceptable is a very powerful energy.
Why?
Well,
why? What is behind it? Why be accepted? Why not just be an individual?
I think a lot of people say, "Oh, I want to be an individual," but they also don't want to be outcast, ostracized, sidelined. You know, so I think there's quite a bit of a discrepancy between what people say and then what they really mean.
So, Sister Denise, what happens to a person's individuality when they sacrifice that which they are in reality and try and keep up, try and, you know, put something else on the outside just to fit in? What happens to them in reality inside?
I think the real person starts to wither, and you're dying. You know, the real self is dying, and then there's all this energy from the outside which says, if you want to be an okay person in our eyes, you have to dress like this, behave like this, transport yourself like this, live in this kind of house, like this kind of books, movies, people, topics, or whatever, and if you don't conform, we will make you suffer. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is a big reason why people do that.
It's acceptable for all teenagers now to have cell phones, okay? And if you don't, I once heard a teenager saying to his mum that if I do not have a cell phone, it's social suicide. Okay,
that's which is a very powerful statement, because social suicide means that socially you're not accepted. You will be ostracized, and to ostracize someone is quite a severe form of violence, and people do it to punish someone. And if you punish someone for not having a cell phone, then the question is, what kind of standards are you operating by, where you punish someone not because they've done something that's, you know, against human principles, but that is against the principles of materialistic advancement and status symbols. Mm. So that means people's values are really skewed.
Yeah. A large part of what we're talking about has to do with materialism, doesn't it? What becomes very clear is that people are creating a fake self. So there's the real self, and then there's the fake self, and that can't possibly be good for a person, healthy. Doesn't it split you into two?
Yes, definitely. It might split you into more than two, and then you don't know who you are. And then you operate on the basis of everything being very artificial. Your value systems are artificial. You become a hollow person, and then that makes you very, very weak when you have to face real challenges.
Yes, I find that for a lot of people, having to face a life-threatening illness, a car accident, the death of somebody you were close to, is a very big return to planet Earth, is it not?
Yes.
What does that do to a person's who's intent on keeping up appearances?
Well, it puts everything in perspective, and it makes you rudely aware and awake to the fact that that whole idea of keeping up appearances has no validity. Mm. And then you are, you see how hollow you are, how much you have betrayed yourself, how much you have sacrificed your real self in favor of something totally fake. What did you do?
Mm. Mr. Denise, on a previous episode, you said that being real is a virtue, okay? It sounds beautiful in theory, and a lot of people at home watching you right now are wondering, what does it mean to be real, to be the authentic self? There's so many possibilities. There's so many things that we've become that is not real. We're all carrying a past, like the proverbial ball attached with a dark, thick black chain to the foot, usually the left foot. We carry that around everywhere. Then there's what your parents and other influential people in your life wanted you to become, which you have become to a certain extent. Then there's your education that pushed you in yet a different direction. The image that I have in mind for a lot of people is a ship that's almost a derelict. So what does it mean to you to be real?
You know, this background that we are talking in of the Greek temple, in
Artemis and etc.
Yes. In Delphi, I had occasion to visit Delphi, and there on the stone written in 2,000-year-old characters is the Greek for "to thine own self be true."
Oh, yes. Yes.
And this message is there throughout recorded history, that the most important thing is to be true to yourself. And it's something that's always been very important to me personally, and so I'm always on this quest to, you know, really be true to myself. And partly because of this idea that the self is forever, the self is immortal, I will live with me forever, so I must be right with me. And I think that's an important component of soul consciousness. But most people are not told that. They're told that yourself is your image, and you have to have an image, and there are spin doctors who prepare people's image so that you're the ideal politician, or you're the ideal pop star, or whatever it happens to be, and you buy into that and you surrender your truth. It's a very painful thing. After some time, a person starts to feel that I'm doing something which is really against my own truth, and what I need to do is, you know, they have this word that comes out of their mouth, I just want to be authentic. Mm-hmm. and how do I do that? So it's very much stepping back from all of this artificial self that one has been, a road one has been going on for such a long time, and return to the real self, which means shedding a lot of masks that actually have no business there. They're not serving any useful purpose. The whole thing is fake. And this is the thing.
Hmm. Okay, so you come to the realization, either by circumstance or by yourself, that you're a fraud, basically, okay? And there's a shocking number of people walking around with that feeling that, oh my God, someday someone's going to find me out and say, I can see right through you, okay? But then, within that, there's the quest to become something, someone of substance. Take us through that transition period, or that journey, rather.
It probably is pretty different for each one, because it depends on the different traumas, it depends on how you grow up, what your culture is. There's many, many factors to take into consideration. But I think something common in that would be that a person starts to really look within. Maybe something triggers that. Could be a really bad situation, or just you're removed from your normal situation and you're somewhere else. Sometimes, you know, what happens to a lot of people, they'll go on a pilgrimage or they'll go traveling, and they're completely in a different social milieu, a different physical milieu, and that becomes the provocation inside to really start thinking, okay, who am I? Where am I going? What am I doing? And a lot of times people will actually write a journal at that time, and it becomes a very important life-changing circumstance.
Mm. Yes, Denise, a lot of people create fake selves because reality is very, very painful to deal with for a lot of people. Very painful. There's physical injury. There are millions of people across the globe who are in chronic pain. Your relationships are in turmoil or downright disaster. Your finances are shot to pieces. So they create the fake self to cope with the harsh reality of the life that they lead. Is that okay in any way to do that?
I think it's a survival technique. Mm. And very often you will look at yourself and find out that you have some special talent, and you use that talent as a foundation for creating a whole image, a whole self based on that. And you say, you know what, I can study well, I can excel academically. So they get a lot of academic qualifications, and then they start to develop a professional self, and they say, I am this. And they become fused with that identity to such an extent that they become really, really excellent in that, but hopeless in everything else. So it's a very unbalanced situation.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, I was with a Nobel Prize laureate physicist who couldn't tie his shoelaces.
That's a problem. Yes, I see the problem. Yes, it's important to have one's shoelaces tied at all times. So
what I mean to say is, a person who's successful as a person is where you've got a balance in all the different aspects of life. But the materialistic world that we're in today also likes specialization. So, you know, in any profession, medical, for example, I am specialized in, you know, the left lobe of the, you know, aorta or something, and I don't do anything else except that, you see. So the rest of the system doesn't exist. You specialize in that, that's good, but then out of context. Mm. And so when you are specialized in one thing to a complete extent and everything else doesn't exist, it's very improperly developed and very unbalanced and monstrous.
Okay, so Sister Nis, I'm glad you brought this up, because I've seen examples of this myself where, say for example, you have somebody in school who's a straight A student, and everyone assumes that his or her life is 100% okay, and yet the child could be dying inside of the tremendous pain and trauma. But because they produce well at school, you think, you know, this is a model student. He may be a model student, but that's not all that he is. Okay? Now, how does one then cause oneself to introspect, and what should I be looking for to see whether I'm a balanced adult and that I am real, and all facets of me as an individual are being taken care of, all my needs are met? How do I do that?
I think that when you do a spiritual practice, in particular the practice of Raj Yoga according to Brahma Kumaris, you know, it really says your daily routine should be good, your personal hygiene should be good, your periods of time should be balanced, work, meditation, play, rest. You know, it really encourages you to be good at physical things, subtle things, mental things. They give a lot of importance to being an all-rounder. You see, the society we are in, the materialistic society, gives you no points, no validation for being fairly good at everything in a balanced way. They say you are a jack of all trades and master of none, and that's like a bad thing. Mm. It's not necessarily a bad thing at all. Mm. You can be master of a few, mm. and have many things that you can do. That's balanced, but our society doesn't see it that way.
Yeah. Okay. Mr. Denise, from what you were saying, what I appreciate about it is that you're looking at an individual from like every angle and asking at any given point in time, what is it that I need at the moment? Shouldn't there be some sense of self-regard to even want to get there? Where does self-respect fit into the picture of being real? Because when you're fake, firstly, you don't know which is the self, and what there's not much to love. There's no substance. So how does one get there, the self-respect? Join those dots for me.
I tend to put aside the word self-respect because it has connotations that I'm not comfortable with, and I replace that with self-honor. You have to honor who you are and what you are, because many people whose self-respect is broken by circumstances or whatever, or the word respect is used to mean lots of different things by lots of different people. It's one of these very overused words which has lost its primary meaning. So I use the word self-honor, and you need to honor the fact that you are a child of God. You need to honor the fact that you are an eternal, immortal soul. You need to honor the fact that your fundamental components are purity, peace, power, love, and bliss. And you need to come to terms with the fact that you have become a little empty, but there's nothing to stop you filling up. You see, when you look at yourself as, I am a sinful soul, I am devoid of qualities, you're already condemned, and you condemn yourself and you get plenty of validation for that, and then you have no self-respect. And people say, why don't you have self-respect? You can't answer that question. Put in a different way, this is what you are, honor it. This is the way that God sees you. You must honor that, you know. Mm-hmm. God sees you as a very beautiful being of light. Can you please look at yourself in the same angle as the angle that God sees you? Because God's angle is valid and real. And if somebody else is looking at you as a piece of garbage, why do you care? You know, why is that important? Leave it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the journey towards becoming a real person is healing the self spiritually. Is there a level of healing that takes place when you do what you just said?
If you look at healing with the meaning of becoming whole, I think yes, because in a way people are depleted and also fragmented. So one thing that's
Hold on. People are empty and they are in pieces.
Yes.
Okay, they're depleted and fragmented. Okay, go on.
So when you're empty and you start to fill, then something's happening in how you feel inside yourself. The levels of purity, peace, power, love, and bliss are slowly filling up, and you don't have this experience of emptiness. And also, when there is emptiness in the soul, the opposite of the component fills the empty space. So that if you're empty in terms of love, it's filled with hatred, self-abandonment, loneliness, etc. And then you feel those, and you think, I am that. You don't think that those feelings are existing because my levels of love are down, and all I have to do is fill them up, and then that darkness goes away from the light that is brought in.
It's interesting that you say that, because when people experience intense dark emotions like the one you just described, they don't think, I have loneliness inside me, I have sorrow inside me. The words are, I am lonely, I am depressed, I am suicidal. It becomes part of their identity.
Yes.
And sorrow, why is it, Sister Denise, that we hold on to sorrow in such a graphic way, and we make it part of our identity?
Because it's such a powerful, all-pervading, all-encompassing emotion. And we don't know how to protect ourselves from it, you see. So what spirituality does is it says, you are not your emotions.
Whoa. That is big. That's big. You are not your emotions. There are very few people who know that.
That's why it's important to say it.
Are you your thoughts?
You produce thoughts.
Okay, so you're not your emotions, and you're a producer of thought. Okay, yes, light bulb's going off, I hope so. Okay, continue.
That means the question is, what are you? Mm. There's two questions, really. Who am I, and what am I? Go for the what first, you know. What am I? Also, what am I not, you know? So I'm not my emotions, I'm not my thoughts, I'm not my body. I'm a pure, peaceful, powerful, loveful being of light. I'm eternal, I'm immortal, I'm a child of God. That is what I am. And then implications of that. I have a mind, which is the instrument to produce thoughts. And I can produce any thoughts I want. But if my will, which is something else that I have, is weak, then, you know, all kinds of thoughts are coming. Where are they coming from? They are coming from perceptions, how you interpret sense perceptions. They're also coming from memories, and all these associations are mixed up, and you make 2 and 2 equal 560. You don't know your mathematics anymore. everything goes out of order. So you need an education, a spiritual education, which says, no, what you think is not so. Come back to basics. You are a pure, peaceful, powerful, loveful soul. You have become depleted. You have a lot of karmic accounts. This is your condition, contrary to what you have created as an assumption about yourself. And now here is some information, what you have to do to become true to yourself, which is all about this return to authenticity.
Well, on that very beautiful note, we bring today's episode to an end. A very, very powerful message, brothers and sisters, that Sister Denise has just shared with us as to how to become real. If you feel inside as if you're not real, if you feel inauthentic, if you're feeling like a fraud, please do not think that you're alone. There are many, many across the globe who are in the same position as you are. And Sister Denise has shared with us very practical things and self-exercises that we can engage in or embark on in order to become a real person. The bottom line is you are a real person, and what you've become maybe in this lifetime is that you don't feel it. It's not that you're not real. We're all real. You wouldn't be in existence if you weren't real. So very powerful message as to how to make the transition from superficiality to authenticity. Very, very beautiful and powerful. And Sister Denise has shared some gems of wisdom. I think the bomb that Sister Denise dropped in this show was, you are not your emotions. That would be a surprise to most people, because we all think that we are our feelings. Yeah, so I hope that you have acquired some food for thought today. I hope that you will be able to use the content of this episode to increase your own happiness, to improve your life for the better. And I also hope that you become real as a result of embarking on your own journey. So thank you very much for lending us your ear today. And thank you, Sister Denise. And we will see you soon. Thank you and goodbye.
जिससे हम अपनी हर बात सहज ही कह जाते हैं। सबसे ज्यादा विश्वास हम जिस पर रखते हैं, एक ऐसा नाता जो आज या कल से नहीं बल्कि जन्म जन्मांतर से है, वो जिसे पाकर कुछ और पाने की तमन्ना नहीं रहती, वो प्यार का सागर जिसकी एक बूंद के हम जन्मों से प्यासे हैं। अब समय है उनसे कुछ पाने के बजाय खुद उसे ही पा लेने का। आइए परमात्मा को जाने और पहचाने।